From high above the ice surface here at the MTS Center, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in the press box by my colleague, Ezra Ginsberg. Producer Michael Remus gets us on and off the air, like the expert that he is. Ezzy, the Jets drop a 3-1 decision earlier tonight to the Ottawa Senators. In your estimation, is it time to panic?
That's funny. It's a preseason game, so we can't get too excited about anything, really. Mm-hmm. The Jets lost 3-1. They're using a roster that is a mishmash of guys that are going to play in the AHL, guys that are going to play in the CHL, and players that obviously are part of this team. And, you know, with the exception of maybe three or four good scoring chances, this was what you would expect out of, you know, the first preseason game of the year.
Yeah, it was not especially exciting. The Ottawa Senators were the better of the two teams on the ice, which is actually, in this instance, makes a lot of sense because the Senators brought a better lineup to Winnipeg than the Jets themselves iced on home ice, as the case may be. I mean, the Senators brought their top line, you know, with Bobby Ryan and Jason Spezza and Milan Mihalik, and they had Erik Karlsson back there. So, I mean, the Senators were the better of the two teams on paper, and it bore itself out on the ice. Obviously, I mean, you can't take much from it. It was an exhibition game. But from the Jets' perspective, who jumped out at you? Who stood out to you as an impressive player? I'll give you my answer, and then I'll let you answer. I thought Matt Halaschuk did a lot to solidify his position as a potential Jets' fourth-line player here tonight.
Right, and Matt Halaschuk is the easy answer there. I would have to say it was him as well. And, you know, Matt Halaschuk is a guy that will spend time on the third line and on the fourth line. There was no doubt that, for me at least, even though, Drew, he was signed to a two-way contract,
yeah,
which means that, you know, it's very likely that he could spend some time playing for St. John's in the A. But for me, Matt Halaschuk is a guy that will fit in great, most likely on the fourth line, and at times on the third line if he needs to. But Matt Halaschuk is a guy that for the Nashville Predators didn't put up big offensive numbers. But I was saying to Dave up here during the game, a guy like Matt Halaschuk I love, not just because he's a former New Jersey Devil, and yes, I'm a big fan of the New Jersey Devils and all of their success, but Matt Halaschuk is the type of guy that will go in the corners, he'll grind, he'll do the hard things. But you look at Matt Halaschuk, there's a guy for you that could potentially be on the second penalty-killing unit. I don't think he'll be on the number one penalty-killing unit, but he can do some really good things on the PK. He's a pretty decent skater. He's got some speed, which was evidenced by his goal that he scored.
The only Jets goal tonight came with the Senators were at the tail end of a power play. Matt Halaschuk blocked a point shot at the Jets' blue line, at the Jets' defensive blue line. He blocked it, and then he was able to collect the puck, skate in on the breakaway, and he went from the left side to the right side, got Robin Leonard moving across his crease, and tucked it five hole, and that was just a play. Simply, it was all Halaschuk in that instance. It wasn't a shorthanded goal because the penalty expired in the course of the play, but you block the shot, you pick up the puck, you skate in on a breakaway, you score a goal. You're doing a lot to solidify your role on the team.
Andrew, if you think about it, the Jets lost 3-1, but when you talk about exhibition games, the scores actually mean nothing.
Absolutely.
And the coaches won't say that, but the score means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. So when you're talking about what to take from this game, you have to take the positives from this game, because the fact that you lost 3-1 doesn't matter.
Sure.
You're starting Michael Hutchinson, who has no NHL experience, who is in the Boston. He played well. He got the second star of the game. He was in the Boston Bruins system, played for Providence last year, wasn't a starter in Providence, but he's a guy that they offered a tryout contract. He won't be one of the top two Jets goalies. He might find his way St. John's of the AHL. But you're icing a roster of rookies and, as I said, mainly guys that will be playing in the AHL or even junior.
Sure.
And when you look at other players that are on tryouts, a guy like Ian White.
He played well.
He played well, and he didn't stand out to me.
I'll tell you what, he played better than a guy he's going to compete with for that last defensive spot. I thought he played better than Paul Postma did tonight.
Paul Postma had a tough night, and that was his defense partner, of course. But Paul Postma had a couple of turnovers in front of the net, and he looked a little bit shaky. But when you're talking about who will be probably the sixth, seventh defenseman, you're talking about Paul Postma, you're talking about Jacob Trouba, you're talking about Ian White, you're talking about Mark Stewart.
Worth noting, sorry for interrupting, but Ian White also played on his offside today.
That's correct.
He didn't play on his regular side.
Ian White is a right shooting defenseman, and most likely Ian White would be a bottom pairing defenseman. Now, what Ian White lacks is size. He's not the most physical guy, but he's extremely good on the power play, and he's generally a pretty good positional player. But when you're talking about who he's going to have to bump off of this roster, you're probably talking about, as we said, a Paul Postma or a guy like Jacob Trouba, who most likely will be a bottom pairing defenseman for the Jets. They're not going to stick him right into the second pairing
lineup
of the Jets. So.
Yeah. But with Ian White, you know, he does have a game that's sort of similar to Paul Postma's in that they're both more offensively inclined, but I think he's not as prone to the defensive lapses that we do see from Postma on occasion.
Right. We should mention Adam Partey as well. Mm-hmm. He's another one of those guys that's on a one-way contract who will most likely be the sixth, seventh defenseman on this team. But when you're talking about Ian White and Adam Partey, what they have that Paul Postma doesn't have is more NHL experience. Ian White specifically, he's got the experience with Toronto, Calgary, Detroit, Adam Partey with Calgary, Buffalo, Dallas. And Paul Postma right now is a guy that is going to have to step up in these exhibition games, because if he wants to make this team, he's going to have to play better than that. Absolutely. And I've always been a big fan of Paul Postma, but he didn't have the best year last year. Mm-hmm. And if you look at some of the other defensemen in the system, another guy that we haven't talked about a lot is Brendan Kitchen. He had struggles, but he's an 18-year-old defenseman that's, you know, fresh out of the WHL.
Yeah, I don't think he's 18. I think he's older
20,
than that.
Actually. Yeah,
he's about 20, because he was done with his junior career, so he's about 20 or 21. But you're right. I mean, you can't take much from the game. I mean, Ladd, Little, and Wheeler played part of the game together, and they look like they sort of had the chemistry that they had last year and the year before. So, I mean, you know, you can sort of pencil that in, and, you know, no big surprise. They didn't get on the scoreboard, but they had some nice passing plays, and they knew how to move the puck with one another.
There was a few chances that they had. One that stands out was in the second period. There was a little give and go with Ladd and Wheeler, and they couldn't finish it off. But as you said, they didn't get on the score sheet, but you know, this is an opportunity for them to get some game action for the first time. But, you know, they had Michael Frolik. I thought it was interesting that they had Michael Frolik on the top line, and then they almost took him out immediately and then put him on the line with Matt Halaschuk and Eric O'Dell. And Eric O'Dell was a little bit underwhelming tonight. He was involved, but he's a guy that really, he needs the puck on his stick, and he needs to be scoring. He's not going to be a guy that you're going to use that too much on the penalty kill or on the power play, at least on the Jets. For the St. John's Icecaps, he's one of their top players and was a point-per-game player, but on the Jets, Eric O'Dell's a guy that will probably be another guy that ends up on the fourth line. But to me, Matt Halaschuk, it's his spot to lose at this point.
Yeah, I agree with you there. If you look at the Jets forwards, I mean, they have, you know, of the 12 forwards that played for the Jets, there's five of those forwards are going to be regulars on this team for sure.
That's right.
The other seven guys are all fighting for different spots, or they're going to be returned to their junior teams, or they're going to spend time in the AHL this coming season. You can't take much out of a 3-1 score. What you can take from a 3-1 score, and this doesn't come as a surprise to anybody, is that the Senators, the Ottawa Senators, the top line that they have of Milan Mihalik, Jason Spezza, and Bobby Ryan is going to be absolutely dynamite for teams in the, I guess that's the Atlantic Division this year in the Eastern Conference.
That line, Drew, might be a 250-point line. That line is absolutely incredible. Jason Spezza is healthy, and he's at the top of his game. He's got the C on his chest. Milan Mihalik is healthy. Bobby Ryan is healthy. And there's so much speed. There's size there. It's one of the most dynamic lines in the NHL.
Absolutely, and then you got to put them on a power play with Erik Karlsson on the back end. That's just a dynamite power play right there. Everything about that. Those guys looked like they had some chemistry already. And as a Jets fan, the Jets should be thankful that they're out of the Eastern Conference this year, so they only have to play the Senators and those guys twice this coming season.
With the exception of a few Jets, you could really tell that speed was a factor. That's why, when a guy like Evander Kane isn't in the lineup, for instance, you can definitely notice that. But again, this is where you have the opportunity for guys who are on tryout contracts or who are trying to make those bottom lines. That's really what you're evaluating, and And for me, you know, this game did tell you a few things. For example, Anthony Peluso is capable to end a fight in under 10 seconds.
Yeah, Anthony Peluso is a tough, tough man. I don't think that comes as a surprise to anybody. We saw him last year briefly with the Jets.
Yep.
But he got into a fight earlier in this game with, I forget his first name, Stau on Ottawa.
Michael Sadeo.
Michael Sadeo. Is that okay? Well, there you go. That's how you pronounce it.
Michael Sadeo, a guy who's... a defenseman who most likely won't play in the NHL this year. He's a guy that's just getting a few preseason games, but got to give him credit. He's going up against Anthony Peluso, and you know he got what he deserved.
He learned that he doesn't want to go up against Anthony Peluso that often when it comes to the fisticuffs. Anyways, that's it for the MTS Center for tonight's Illegal Curve postgame podcast. The Jets are next in action Tuesday night back at home against the Edmonton Oilers. Stay tuned to IllegalCurve.com for the rest of your post-game audio. For my colleague Ezra Ginsberg, for my colleague Michael Remus, I'm your host Drew Mindell. Thanks very much for listening.